Good morning, and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Our 855th day together in the Word of God brings us back to the book of Ecclesiastes, for Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are good. You are good to us every day of our lives that we live under the sun. The world is full of trouble. Hearts are full of sin. There's much that perplexes us, but you remain good. You remain faithful, and we can always trust you. Help us to grow in our understanding of that truth today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 6. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God has given wealth, possessions, and honor so that he lacks nothing of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy them, but a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he, for it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than he. Even though we should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to the one place? All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Whatever has come to be has already been named, and it is known what man is, and that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he. The more words, the more vanity. And what is the advantage to man? For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? That's Ecclesiastes chapter 6. We pick up on many of the same themes that we were looking at yesterday in chapter 5. We pick up with this idea that what if you live a very long life? What if you have 100 children and live 2,000 years? I mean, just magnify whatever your expectations are big, right? What if you have, in that time, you have wealth, possessions, and honor? You don't lack anything of all that you desire. So let's just give it all to you, right? You want a long life? Given. You want lots of kids? Given. You want wealth? Given. You want honor? Given. Whatever you desire, we're not going to hold it back. We're going to give you all of it. And yet, God will not give you the power to enjoy them. And when it comes to the end, you're not even going to be buried, because no one really is going to be a close companion to you, and you're not going to have any satisfaction in what you've received. And you know people who are restless and have no satisfaction, but are always sort of itching and looking and striving, and they're not necessarily people that you want to be deep friends with or that you want to spend a lot of time with. You know, you might learn something from them about how to achieve, but then they're just so restless, they're just so dissatisfied. No. He actually says a stillborn child's better off, because in the end, the stillborn child didn't know anything about the sun, and yet he receives rest, and yet all go to the one place. So here's the thing. Death is the great leveler. We all die, and in the end, we all end up in the same place, the afterlife. And what is that going to be? I mean, Ecclesiastes doesn't get into that really. But it does basically want to tell us, don't put too much stock in anything that you could achieve in this world unless you have satisfaction from God in it, the joy of the Lord, right? And then going back to a more realistic, that was sort of your idealistic scenario in verses 1 to 6, and it's not great. And then we get back more to the realism. All the toil of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not satisfied. There's always more. There's always a place you could go you've never been. There's always a restaurant you could try you haven't tried. There's always clothes that you could get that you don't yet own. There's always cars you could drive that you haven't yet driven. There's always adventures you could go on that you haven't yet been on. So the mouth and the appetite is really just symbolic of the craving of man, never satisfied. And what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? What about a poor man who knows how to conduct himself? I don't know. He's poor. He doesn't, right? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetites. Better to just see what you have, receive it for what it is, give thanks for it, be satisfied with it. Better is the sight of the eyes, what you already have, than the wandering of the appetites, what you don't yet have, right? The old saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? What you have is better than what you might get, right? But of course, people who are about creating wealth will tell you no risk, no reward. If you don't throw the dice, if you don't risk it, you can't gain. But, you know, that type of life is often very empty. And then we close out chapter 6 with the final paragraph. Whatever has come to be has already been named. And it is known what man is, and that he's not able to dispute with one stronger than he. You know, no matter how much the world changes, it's still basically the same. Human nature is still the same. And the more words, the more vanity, you could talk about it, you can ask questions about it, you can discuss it, you can be like these talking heads who have to fill up the airwaves on the cable news channels 24 hours a day and ultimately aren't saying anything new. So what do? Well, we have to trust the Lord, because in this vain life, our days are few. We pass like a shadow, and we don't know what's coming after us. And so the only real answer here is to trust the Lord. He alone gives us joy in this life. He alone gives us the ability to be satisfied with what we have. And he alone knows what's coming later, what's coming next. So ultimately, our life has to be in his hands if we're going to find any sort of soul satisfaction. Let's pray. Father, help us to be content in you. Help us to seek your face, to rejoice in you, to worship you, to have our lives anchored in you, to know you even as we are known by you, and to walk with you by faith. For the glory of your name, for the good of your people, for the enrichment of our own hearts and lives and minds, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for joining me for Ecclesiastes 6. We are going to go back to the Gospel of John tomorrow, pick up with John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. A wonderful passage tomorrow. I hope you can join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.